Well, for us who are taking notes, we have a title this morning God wants us to look at, to open up, raise questions, answer, and hopefully go away different to when we came, built up yet more in the faith, to stand, to endure in these last days, this last lap that we find ourselves in. Whatever the trial, keep in prayer. Whatever the trial, keep in prayer, is what God is challenging us here this morning. And I'm basing this from something, again, we know very well in the book of Acts, Acts 14 and verse 22. And we know that our brothers and sisters in the early church went through much to make it into the kingdom of God. Went through much trial, martyrdom, blood spilt. And here in verse 22 of Acts 14 it says, strengthen the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of heaven. We must, through many tribulations, trials, enter the kingdom of heaven. And so, what are we doing this morning, just like the early saints? We're strengthening the heart, the soul. As disciples, we're exhorting one another, encouraging one another in the faith. And that is why these meetings are so important. It's no different to the early Christians. The early Christians met regularly as much as was possible to exhort, to encourage, to build one another up in the faith, to get that word into their lives and in their hearts. Why? Because the scriptures tell us that we must go through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. And may I suggest something? That those of us who are keeping up with this, those of us still come week after week, getting the word, coming, praying, have realized that there are trials in this life. Have realized that, yes, I go through these trials, and these trials are real. And the only way I'm going to get through these trials is to keep with it, to keep with what God has provided. And God's provided us these meetings. He's provided the word, that manna, to give to us week after week. He's provided meetings in the week, prayer meetings, so that we can survive, we can stand in this life as we meet these trials. And some see this and some don't. Some want this and some don't. And we found this through the history of this church. I was only thinking, you know, as we turned into a new year, if all those that came right through the time we started, I reckon we would be well over 1,000. Getting on for 2,000. Those have come through and gone, or just paid a visit and gone, and so forth. It looks a failure, doesn't it, in the natural? It looks an absolute failure, just like the crucifixion was. They all fled. And here we are, a remnant coming week after week. And all I can boast in is that is God's mercy in my life. That is His mercy. Because I've done nothing to achieve this. I've done nothing to in my life that God's looked upon me and thought, well, you know, you've been a good lad. I think I'll bless you and I'll keep you faithful in the walk. God doesn't think like that. That's how man thinks. But God doesn't. No, God says, I've chosen. I've chosen a remnant unto myself, elected, set apart. And so here we see the early Christians, some of them going through terrific trials and tribulations. For what sake? What is your trials for? Are your trials because of you? because of what's going on in your family, or maybe what God is doing in your life. Friends, I want to tell you something that may just be deliverance, may just help you to look at your next trial in a completely different light. Because look what it says here. What are these trials? Are these trials because of your folly? Because of your unbelief? Your sin? Yes, there may be those things. I'm not saying they're not. And God says, I will chasten you sometimes. Scourge you. That's what the Bible says. Because God loves you. And that's a sign the Father loves you. But that's not really what your trials are. What are your trials? What is the nature of your trials? What is your trials to produce? What is it all about? It tells us exactly here. Your trials, tribulations are for the sake of the kingdom of God. You're entering into the kingdom of God. Now, friends, you can say to yourself, when you go through that next trial, this looks terrible, I feel awful, this has exposed everything that's worst in me, but this is for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Doesn't it put it in a completely different light? It starts to make it eternal. It starts to make sense that what I go through, these trials, as deep as they are, it's because of the kingdom of God. That's why. And you're going to start to find, even in that pain, you will start to praise the Lord because it's for the sake of the kingdom of God. Friends, if you haven't, get that underlined. Get it marked. Get one of those marker pens that's bright yellow and get it sticking out the pages. So when you flip through your Bible, there it is. My trial I'm going through is for the sake of the kingdom of God, because I'm entering into it. Amen. Amen. No, I haven't forgotten the title. Whatever the trial, keep in prayer. Because it's all part and parcel. I'm building up to this. And so let's turn with that, remembering that, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, again, we know all of these very well, but we go over these because God gives more light on these. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. This is a faithful saying: if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So one thing you can be assured, if you're in Christ, Christ cannot deny himself. He has endured, he has overcome, he is faithful, and therefore you will be as well. Whatever the trial, whatever the test. But he does warn, because he says here, if we die with him, we shall also live with him. That means the new birth, Christ in you. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. You can't reign unless you endure. Because reigning comes at the end. If we deny him, he also will deny us. It's that law of sowing and reaping. And that is why having a prayer life is also imperative to what I'm raising this morning. Turn with me also, if you will, to chapter 3, verse 12 of the second book of Timothy. Chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, suffer trial. And some of the persecutions come right out of your household. I'm sorry, friends, but if you want to be part of this church, you will sooner or later get persecuted. It will be a stigma. It'll be nothing you can boast in. Why will you receive persecution? Because of the light, the revelation, and blessing God is bestowing upon you and me. That's why. And that's what makes me stay with this. That's what makes me stay with Full Gospel Assembly, simply because of my life I've gone through, and trials, testings, lies, persecution, rejections. That tells me I am receiving the word of life. That word that gives me life. You see? And therefore they're the signs. And as painful as it can be, we come back knowing that this is God's plan for your life and my life and family and whatever. And I might add that these persecutions come right out of your household, right out of your loved one. They can come. Jesus said they will. But something within you holds on, because it says, praise God, that is a clear sign that God is putting his life, his spirit in me. And the powers of darkness do not like it. Don't like it. So this raises the question, because of this, it is important that we have this prayer life. You see, prayer is to become part of our life. And the Holy Spirit will work in such a way to sustain us in this area. That is our experience. So you see, we prayed this morning. We prayed for two brothers. We prayed for our brothers and sisters, because God has said my house will be a house of prayer. So you see, by praying, we're putting actively what we hear, our faith. We are channeling that for our brothers, our sisters, or as the Holy Spirit leads, we are releasing that faith for God to work on our behalf, to work to answer those prayers. That's why it is important that we pray for one for another, as I said earlier. If one is going through a trial or a family is going through a trial, we feel that, we pick that up. And so we channel our faith, our belief. What is our faith? What is our belief? My faith, my belief, when I pray for a brother and sister, is that my God loves me, my Father is a Father of love, and he also loves my brother, my sister, that is going through a trial. Therefore, I can pray that effectively, because I know God loves them, and if I am burdened, how much more is he? I pray because I believe God is a God of love. That is the motivating force of prayer. If you haven't a prayer life, you don't pray much, or you don't really see the value of prayer in this church, you still yet have not understood the Father's heart. He is love. Period. And if my praying is not motivated by love, and love by faith, then I ain't praying. I'm praying something else, but I'm not praying what God wants me to pray. And that is the point. And that is the emphasis I want to get over in this teaching, or teachings, how long they last. I tell you, God's opening my eyes to it. You know, it can be so easy, you know, to just not any longer. Or you know a brother or sister's going through a trial and you think, oh, not again. You know, they're becoming nothing but a burden. It's the same old thing that comes up over and over again. I know, I'm human. I felt it. You feel, you know, you think, God, praise God. But then when you come back to it, you realize it endures. God's love endures. God's love doesn't see an end. It's the same with forgiving. It's so easy to adopt these attitudes. We've all battled it, but we all have to come back to the basics. I cannot pray. If I really want that brother or sister to change, then I have to change in my attitude and thinking. Because if I'm not praying in love, I can talk about as much faith as I want, but I'm aware that faith worketh by love. And there's no greater way of channeling that than through prayer. And so that is the reason why we pray. Because it's the Father's heart. It's the Father's heart. And so prayer is to become a part of our life. And the Holy Spirit is going to work that sensitivity. The Holy Spirit works that unction in you. And sometimes you don't always have to get off in your closet and get on your knees and pray. Sometimes you can just pray where you are, or if you're driving the car, and suddenly your mind goes upon a brother or sister you know is battling. Say, Father, I'm driving this car, but I'm offering this up to you now in prayer. In the Spirit, I'm praying for my brother, for my sister. Thank you, Lord, you brought this to mind, to attention. This is what begins to make prayer interesting. You begin to realize God puts that in your heart. Because I know prayer's not easy. I'm not going to begin to say for one moment that prayer's an easy thing. And let's face it, the devil does everything he can to stop us praying, doesn't he? I know jobs need doing at home. Got to fetch the children. Or when you come to pray, oh, I'm tired. I'm just physically tired. The demands are upon us. Does it get any easier? No. Does life get any easier? No. Does the demands of life, the hustle and bustle of life, get any easier? No. I find it frustrating sometimes. I want to get up and just say, Lord, I'm going to give you an hour. I want to get in that closet. I've got to meet you. I've got to pray some things through. I've got to pray. I've got to seek you. You know that burden, that unction? You just got to get before God. And the devil throws an obstacle. And you're going through the course of the day and you're finding yourself getting more and more disgruntled. Because you just know you've got to get before God. Because you've got to pray something through. This is serious. And what is the devil doing? Throwing obstacles in front of you. Well, praise God for that unction. Praise God that is the Holy Spirit working. And I know all about that one. But you see, if we stay with this, prayer will become a part of our life. And the Holy Spirit's going to work such a sensitivity in our heart and spirit that it will become our experience. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I built up to that because of this challenging verse. And remember, the Apostle Paul wrote this. All the burden of the churches, imprisonments, journeys, shipwrecks, beatings, you name it, he got it all on his shoulders. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Now, if that man, if the Holy Spirit could work that in that man in an impossible situation, he can certainly work it in us. And the first thing for God to work that in us is no excuses. Period. No excuses. None whatsoever. Now you see, we're still excuses, haven't we? And what's motivating those excuses? Pride. Yeah, but you don't know my life. You don't know what the responsibilities I've got. You just don't know. Well, I didn't make that statement. The Apostle Paul made that statement, probably right under the burdens, the pressures, all that he had on his shoulder. So what was this man experiencing? That's the question I raise. Well, he was experiencing what God can do through the impossible. God was working a prayer life in this man under all these experiences. And there were times when he probably couldn't get into his closet as he'd wanted to. And when you journeyed in those days, you weren't talking about half a day, you were probably talking about 3 weeks sometimes. So, what do we learn from this? We learn that we walk daily in that attitude and mind of prayer with God. Whatever we're doing, wherever we are, whatever our situation, you can talk with God. You can offer up those prayers. You can just start to intercede. That's why God's baptized you in tongues. And those languages are going to intercede and pray before the throne of grace. And if you think on your life each day, there are times during the course of the day that you can do that, and you can allow the Holy Spirit to work that through your life. And your experience is going to become the same experience as the Apostle Paul. And you begin to see breakthroughs. And you begin to see that these trials and tests and whatever we go through, the family goes through, the children go through, you begin to see in a different light. You see it in a different position. You see, our trials are real, and we go through those trials, but what God wants you and I is to be standing in a different dimension spiritually for these trials. And that's why he's allowing you to go through trials, to place you in that position in Christ in those trials. And that is where you're going to start then to count it all joy. How do you think Jesus went to that cross unless he stood in that consecration that the Father had for him? He could never have done that in his flesh. Remember, he was God in flesh. And that is why you're still missing some things. That is why we're missing it still in our flesh. Because in our flesh, we are consecrated to God. What is that consecration? Have you ever thought about it? It's not just being separated. It's not just saying, no, I don't go to those nightclubs and those seedy places anymore. It's more than that. Consecration to God is a spiritual place, dimension that is found in Christ. It's where Christ places me spiritually. And if I am there spiritually, my flesh is going to pick that up. And so when we go through those trials, yes, it is painful. Yes, you are hearing all these lies, all these horrible things being said to you, all these knives being dug into you. But you are consecrated, separated unto Christ. And if you stay with this, you are going to find that a lot of your trials are just like water on a duck's back. It just pours on and drips off. You see? In other words, I always remember Brother Freeman saying something. He says, birds at times will fly over your head, but it's whether you let them nest in your head. That's the question. They will fly over, but don't let them nest. So what did we mean by this? It means that you are consecrated. You are in Christ. You are separated. That is why you're of another world, another kingdom. Your destiny is not of this life. And when we begin to experience and grasp this, we're going to begin to understand what these trials are about. And in those trials, you're going to find that you're communing with God. Because that's the key to it. Trials are not to stop you from praying. Are not to stop you from talking to God. In fact, if anything, they're to throw you even more upon him. That's the point. And when I go through a trial, I say to myself, Kim, you actually are at your strongest. And that's what's so ironic about this walk. So what has feelings got to do with it? I say to myself, you are at your strongest at this point, at this moment. And somehow that peace just comes there. There's just that anchoring. It starts to put it all in perspective. It keeps me balanced. It then keeps me focused. Because you see, what the devil tries to do with trials is to get you in the flesh. And of course, you will always hurt in the flesh. Circumcision is in the flesh. And that is why God circumcises the heart and ears, you see. So, bearing that in mind, we see then that unbelief will cause this lack of prayer. And very often, as I keep telling us, that these trials are exposing this unbelief in us, And so unbelief, if it's still there, is going to result probably in a lack of prayer. Why? It's pretty simple. Because you have to pray in faith. And if unbelief is there, then you haven't really that enthusiasm to pray. There's the Holy Spirit's not really quickening. There's just a general apathy and a negative attitude toward prayer. But you see, a man or woman who is in faith, if faith is there, something within them rises up, because that is where you channel that faith. That is where you use that faith. You use it in prayer. John 14. Here's a classic example. John 14, verses 12 to 14. John 14, verses 12 to 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So you see, even right in trial and testing, if you ask in faith, God says, I will do it. Now I want you to learn something, that actually in your trials, you are probably a greater advantage of praying in faith than when you feel all fine and hunky-dory. Because I said to you, in your trials, you're actually at your strongest. And some of you I've tried to encourage when you come up and share, you're really going through whatever it is, and out you comes from my mouth, ah, but brother, if you did but know, you are at your strongest. And I say that to try and focus you, because that is going to bring you into the realm of prayer, where most definitely your prayers are going to get answered. Why? Because you're desperate. You're desperate. And very often those conditions release faith. You're desperate to believe God. That's why. James 5:15. James chapter 5 and verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, her up. I'm just taking that, but there's the principle, the prayer of faith. That is the key. There's no point you praying unless you believed. I trust we were all believing this morning for those two prayers that we pray for. Because if we're not, our prayers are hindered. So it is important that we're in prayer, believing one for another. But not only that, but taking even a step further, prayer keeps you in that place. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And God will turn his back on you and will not answer them. What's the matter? That's what we believe. That's what, I know we're laughing at it, but that's exactly what we do. We listen to the devil. We look to ourselves. We look to the symptoms. We hone into our flesh. And our flesh says to you, isn't it impossible? That's what it says. No. You know very well. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts, minds, through Jesus Christ. That's the power that's disposed to put, keep you in peace, to guard your minds. Why the mind? Obvious. Because that is where Satan places the targets, the bullets. Every time. Your battles, your trials are with your mind. And God says, so let's look at it again. This is a very powerful few verses here. It really is. Another one to get highlighted. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So he's getting us to think, to meditate, to listen, to accept only those good, positive reports. I don't want the negative. I don't want to hear those lies about my brother and sister. If you've got a problem, if that's what, then you take that before God. Because you will very often hear those that criticize. We've got people who criticize this body. You turn around and say, well, brother, sister, I'm hearing what's coming out your mouth about the assembly or about the pastor or about that brother and sister. I certainly assume then that you're very much in prayer over all this. Yes, they ain't. I can tell you they're not. And I've said that to some. I said, well, I assume you're very much in prayer then, because you seem very burdened. You want to see their face. You want to see that spirit manifest in them. Bearing that in mind, let's go back to this again. Verse 6. Therefore, be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer, supplications, thanksgivings, let your requests be made known to God. So there is your prayer life. You have a prayer life which you not only pray in the Spirit, but you have a prayer life where you supplicate. In everything you seek God, you commit to Him. You supplicate and you pray also with thanksgiving. Now, if you put all that together, he says, and let your requests be made known to God. So out of your prayer life, out of daily seeking God, being in that attitude of prayer, you're going to find that God is answering those prayers, those needs. When you pray, pray for people. When you see a need, Father, I pray for that family who needs that money to pay those bills at the end of the month. I pray that now over them in Jesus' name. That money will be there for them. I prayed that. And guess what? God's answered it. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So you can't understand this peace. Will guard your heart and mind. So it's not only we say, oh, I have the whole armour of God on me. But that whole armour consists of the fact of being in an attitude of prayer, praying. And God says, because you do that, I'll guard your hearts, your minds, through Jesus Christ. So what is that guard? That guard means that nothing can touch you. Nothing. Even when Jesus went to the cross and the pain of it, yet nothing could penetrate, touch him, that could defile him. Now, can God do that? I believe he can. How does he do it? Well, that's his working out. He's not asked me to work out how he's going to do it. I know he's God, and I know he'll do it. In Jesus' name. Why do I know he'll do it? Because I'm desperate for it, that's why. And if you don't yet, you will. You'll need that and want that in your life. If you haven't yet, well, you have not come yet to the end of yourself. But I know I do. I know I'm desperate for this peace. I want that guarding over my mind and heart. And I'll tell you why I want it. Because I know trials are out there and I can't avoid them. Can't avoid them. That is the reality of life. All the while, Jesus still keeps me walking day by day with him. I know there are going to be trials. That's why you see youngsters, children, they don't see that yet. They haven't conceived of that conception yet. There are a few who grow up very quickly through traumatic trials, but young people as yet don't understand that. But it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. And this is why God is getting us to have the right attitude towards these trials and testings. Simply because they're going to be there. I already gave it to you in Acts 14. We must, through much trial and tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. I can't change that. That is for you, and that is for me, and that is for this church. Both individually and corporately. But I know that with that, I must allow the Holy Spirit to work a prayer life in and through me. Because that is imperative. It is imperative. The reason I'm saying this is because this is just going to stop us from maybe going through some trials that you don't actually have to go through. There are some trials that we don't actually have to go through. That is why you bring up your children and you guard them and you teach them that there are some things in life that if they touch it, they're going to get really burned. Period. And sometimes if they're so rebellious, you've got to just stand back and they're going to unfortunately have to get burned. Because there's something they have to learn that they're not just listening to through you. They are the realities of life. And so we can put that over spiritually. God gives us an ultimatum. Sometimes, you know, there's a trial and I don't have to go through that. And you avoid it. You move away. Don't get involved. But there are other trials. You've just got to go through it. It's as simple as that. Because that's the way Jesus is going through. And you're following him. So we're beginning to see that we've always got to be ready in that attitude for prayer. Ephesians 6 verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, as I bring this to its conclusion. 6 verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we persevere to the end. We pray for the saints. Very important we pray for one another. Do you realise that probably you're still in your seat here today because a brother or sister has got in prayer for you, has held on, stayed in prayer? Very humbling, isn't it? When you start to think along those lines. But it's true. It's true. And the Apostle Paul here says to the church here at Ephesus, pray one for another. Supplicate. Romans 12, verse 12. Romans 12 and verse 12. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfast in prayer. Or continuing steadfastly in prayer. Again, this is what Paul writes. Rejoicing in all hope. Rejoicing, in other words, in every trial, in every situation, no matter how negative it looks. Patient in tribulation. Because sometimes it can take a long time. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. In other words, not being put off. Because it's taking a long time. How much longer? This tribulation, I don't know whether I can take much more of this. Steadfast in prayer. Now, something I've observed with this last generation. This last generation, and this is pretty universal. It's not just this country. But if you notice now, people can't take much stress, much strain. they break very easily. They can't take it. This is why we probably have something like 1 in 10 who have a mental disability or problem. We probably are a generation of people that are more cosseted, provisions, looked after, this nanny state. We have a lot of amenities we can go to for help, unlike any other generation. But what that has done and is doing is creating such weakness in the character. It's actually weakening us. And so you are finding that people crack, break under trial, testing. Admittedly, that the early church didn't have maybe the speed of which society and everything moves today. Everything was much more at a pace that one could, you know, move with. Admittedly, we have a generation now where everything moves so quickly that we can't keep up with it. And of course, that creates stress. But then they had hardships that we don't have today. We've got all our gadgets and gizmos, our washing up machines, washing machines, our cars, our aeroplanes. We've got all these amenities, whereas way, way, way back, you had a horse and cart. You had a boat that just simply worked by sails. So the hardships were difficult. You didn't have human rights as we have today. You didn't have your welfare, your NHS. If you died, you just died on the side of the street. So in many ways, that generation could take the knocks. You didn't have so much mental problem, psychotic problem, as we have today, because we are so much softer. We can't take the pressures. We break very easily. Now, I've raised that because the Holy Spirit knows that. Therefore, God says, my grace is sufficient. And what your trials are actually doing, they are also hardening you to stand. As we're beginning to see people falling victim to all sorts of demonic powers and activities, what your trials are also doing are causing you to stand firm. It's like a muscle. A muscle must be used, exercised. And so what God's doing through the trials, your faith, he's actually getting you to be resolute, to be that pillar, to stand, to endure. He's toughening you up. And toughening you up is part of growing up. You see? And so you're going to find in time what you're going through, or you watch somebody else go through and they totally break. They go completely under. But you went through the same trial, but you stood. Why did you stand? Because God is making you resilient. He's toughening you up by faith to stand for these last days. Isn't Satan subtle how he's working in weakening men, women? And Lord, quicken that to me. So there we are. That is why we are to pray. And finally, this is the most important one. All prayer is important, but Jesus gave this in Matthew 26 and verse 41. And when Jesus gives something like this, you can be well assured that this is important, because he too had to apply this into his life. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but what is the problem? The flesh. And it's weak. So God is going to get you to become strong, and he'll deal with the flesh. And how is the flesh dealt with so often? The cross and trials. But what is this prayer life causing us to do? To be watchful. Now, what does this mean, being watchful? It means being watchful in all these areas that I've spoken about this morning. It isn't just sitting on top of a tower and looking out and saying, oh, I'm watching for the enemy. That's part of it. Believe me, that is the idea, the understanding of what we mean here, to be watchful. Somebody who stands on a watchtower. But I believe it's a lot deeper than that. I need to be watchful in my trials. That in my trials, as painful as it is, I'm still looking to Jesus. That's being watchful. I need to be watchful with what God has given me in being responsible with ministry. I need to be watchful for this church because the enemy all the while is trying to attack it. I need to be watchful at times over my brother, my sister. Not in a critical way, not watchful in a controlling way, but simply sensitive to the needs. That's being watchful. We need to be watchful in so many areas. And that is how we will be watchful. If we allow the Holy Spirit to work that in and through us. And so if you begin to understand these trials, you will begin to understand the value of prayer. And I have and am. I'm learning more and more. And my prayer life, the value of understanding prayer, the importance of prayer, has not just come out of reading the word, and that is important, but it's come out of what I've gone through. The trials I've gone through. Or I've gone through something, and I don't want anyone else to go through what I went through. That was painful. I don't want some of the things I have gone through. I don't want you to go through that. And if I can get in prayer and prevent you from that, then praise God. That's what it's all about. Amen. Now let's grasp hold of this for the new year that faces us. And let's move into the experience of what God has shown us here this morning. Amen. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you again for blessing us with your presence. Lord, you do love us so much. You never hold back. Yes, sometimes it's very challenging. Yes, Lord, we fail at times miserably. But Lord, if we're really hearing that word that you give to us, our hearts are open to receive it. And that's a clear sign that if our hearts are open to receive it, that's a clear sign we want you to do whatever it takes. And we know there's going to be pain and trial attached to it. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And as you have overcome all things, so we too overcome all things. And so, Lord, be with us through this week. Bless us, preserve us, and keep us till we assemble again. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Glory to God. church, and he is, and he means business, because you can't build and I can't build. Only the Holy Spirit can build his church. And what is it for? What are these meetings for? That he might fill it with his presence. And that's what we're believing for. There's coming an hour, a moment, when God is going to anoint this, and there's going to come such a filling of his presence that it'll knock us all to the floor. It really will. And I'm quickened by this, because at the end of the day, miracles, things that we believe for, can and only is achieved by the power of God. A faith can only rise to so far, then the gift of faith then has to take over. And miracles take over. And the presence of God takes over. And there's coming an hour and a time when God says, you move one side, I'm taking over here this morning. Praise God. Because that's what I'm believing for. Amen.
Amen.
Lord bless you all.